Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's time to look ahead to Liverpool versus Bournemouth. I'm joined by Mr. Chris Pajak, Mr. Ross Chanley, and Mr. John Machin as well. What a panel. What a panel. Apart from Ross, you can't talk. So
it's Ben Foster's fault. 90 minutes, calling him a prick.
So Ross hasn't fully recovered. In fact, here's the thing, neither's Tom. Tom, pretty much, I guess, the same, hasn't been able to make it in today. So Ben Foster is to blame for us being a little bit worse for wear today.
Tom, like he always does when he goes to the game, does not stop as well. So, I mean, he was incredible last night. Tom put in a good shift.
He is incredible. Tom is the archetypal local fan. If it's not, it's what it should be. You know, people talk about getting, you know, need to get more young Scouse lads in. Tom, more Toms. I'm not saying that across the board, but we should hold Tom up, put him on a pedestal and say, just watch him, watch how he reacts.
In the game, maybe not walking to the match.
No.
Do you remember when he had that little problem with someone not indicating?
Oh, yeah, he did. He started early, his aggression levels went up when someone beeped him when he was crossing the road and he flipped on them because they didn't indicate, which he was absolutely right to do. But anyway, we digress. Liverpool Bournemouth, Chris. This game, we're in a run of games where it would have been perfect world scenario is to take 9 points into Arsenal.
Yeah, that would have been
with them desperately needing to need a win against us to be able to for their top four ambitions. As it is, unfortunately, you know, we've only taken 2 points in the last two games. I think it puts a little bit extra pressure on this game because you don't want to have to go to the Emirates to get a win. So look, the Reds by hook or by crook need to get back to winning ways.
Oh, of course they do. And listen, you go into every game needing to win, don't Liverpool, and that's what it's about, isn't it, for us? But I think you're right. I think there is extra pressure on Klopp and the players in this game particularly. Bournemouth haven't been playing great this season. They've been struggling a little bit. They've had difficulty scoring and stuff. So I wonder whether we're going to face the Bournemouth that we've seen in previous years, who were happy to go and play a little bit of football against us, or whether they're going to be a little bit more pragmatic in their approach for this game.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it, Ross, is that you get this. This happens. Mourinho kind of showed last season when he parked the bus. He showed a lot of teams how to get points against Liverpool. You know, Mourinho's done it again this season. I'm sure Allardyce do it. Pardew's done it. It makes you wonder whether Eddie Howe will have a little think about that. Look, Bournemouth don't score goals. I think they've only scored 15 goals in 17 games in the league this season. So they're not likely to cause us mass threat going the other way. And it's whether they think our best chance here is to see if Liverpool can undo us.
Yeah, it's damage limitation for most people. I think it was the same with Huddersfield and Brighton. They set up a similar way. But fortunately, we were able to break those two teams down for some reason. I think we're just a bit more on fire. I think that will be the case for Bournemouth. I think a point, even at home for them, is a good point against Liverpool because we should be further up than we are. Really struggling here.
I really want to give you a lem sip and a cuddle so badly.
But yeah, it's pretty close down at the bottom as well, and they need points just as much as we do. And I don't think they can afford to gamble going forward and risk losing this game.
Yeah, I watched the highlights of their game at Old Trafford last night. They absolutely battered United in the first half. Absolutely battered them. Should have been 2 or 3 goals up before United scored.
Fingers crossed.
They look a much better side than we're talking about at the moment. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if he thinks they got success in the past by attacking Liverpool and going at us, putting our defence under pressure. It wouldn't surprise me at all if being at home they'd tried that right.
Well, I kind of, yeah, exactly. I'm kind of hoping for that to some extent. I think we're better set up this year for that, aren't we, Chris? Particularly away from home.
The counter attacking from Liverpool, even those maybe two occasions against West Brom where we countered, we look so dangerous. And if people are going to play that way, that's how we're going to score goals. I think that's the easiest way for a Liverpool team, this Liverpool team, to score goals and stuff. So. The other factor that we've not spoken about yet is that this will be three games in a week for Bournemouth, and a Bournemouth side that aren't used to playing three games in a week. So I wonder how they're going to be. Obviously, they'll have a game round and about Christmas as well. So that could become a factor in this game, and maybe we'll start to see Klopp's rotation policy actually sort of bear fruit.
We'll be fresher than them. We said it about the Brighton game the other week as well, didn't we? You know, you'd enter into a busy period and our team's... Yeah, you know, we're not putting our best team out every week or twice a week because it's not possible. But, you know, you're right, we've got...
It's a massive difference when they're playing, when everyone's playing Premier League games midweek. That's when we should be able to really sort of capitalise.
Absolutely. I think the interesting thing to note on them is that although they've lost nine games this season, they don't get battered. I think Arsenal beat them 3-0, is the biggest defeat they've suffered along the way. It's 1-0, Chelsea, Spurs, Man United, all got 1-0 against them. And, you know, I kind of said this about the West Brom game, is that we're in this spell now where we could just do with, for confidence, it would be nice for us to get back to a 3-4-0, obviously. But equally,
can we get back to the sevens? Because I kind of like the sevens as well. You know,
very pleasant indeed.
Agreeable.
Have we had a 1-0 win yet this
season? We must. That's Palace.
Oh, yeah. But you know, I think we need more 1-0s. Which is, this sounds a bit counterintuitive, but we can't just have us battering teams or stalemates, whatever. Grinded 1-0. Where maybe we come under a bit of pressure for the last 10 minutes of the game and we hold firm.
But I'd like that to be against an Arsenal or a Chelsea, not a Bournemouth.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. But it's just to dominate, we'll cause no... Yeah, I said, okay, I take your point that maybe that's a better thing. It would be nice to get through one of these games without having horrendous scares. Let's do that. Let's just do that instead. There's a load of headaches here, Dan, with regards to how we line up this team. You'd expect five or six changes on form. Let's talk about a couple of the obvious ones, or the ones that might be a bit contentious. Let's start with the goalkeeper. By all accounts, we've had a couple of conflicting reports on it. You know, I think Chris hypothesised, and it was a spot on hypothesis, that it made sense to give Karius a game in midweek, regardless of any injury issues for Mignolet. But having seen him come in and seeing that, I think that he's just a bit better at footy than Mignolet. Is there an argument there that you just think, I've seen enough there that Karius is good enough to be our first choice keeper? Bearing in mind that this was the game last season that killed Karius, what would you do with a goalkeeper?
I would keep Karius in. I've never rated Mignolet anyway, and even though I think he's improved and he's certainly trying desperately to be a goalkeeper who comes off his line and comes out of his box, he does things which still frighten the life out of me.
Yeah.
So I'd rather Karius played. I don't think he will. I think Mignolet will come back in.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that he's got no problem throwing Karius in for the game when neither of us, you know, we played the Arsenal game at Anfield kind of out of the blue as well. And what you don't know whether that's maybe a psychological thing, because we were told Mignolet had a bit of an injury, but he was fit, he trained. Klopp made the call in this regard. I don't know which way it would
could
go.
Be good management on his behalf, couldn't it? Actually,
yeah,
keeps Mignolet on his toes, keeps Karius in games.
I was the same as your dad, I'd keep him in there. I thought he had a really good game last night. But having said that, I don't think Mignolet's done anything wrong to be dropped. That's the other thing, but I think, like you said, his management of giving him a rest, even mentally, just three games in a week is a lot for anyone. You know, get yourself back and then go back.
Klopp actually said a few things in midweek about resting players, and everyone assumed he was talking about Salah, but he might have been talking about Mignolet.
Yeah. You know. Or Henderson, because Henderson was rested.
Yeah.
It's right, stand on the keepers. I think Karius suits our style of football more. I don't think any of them are good enough to be Liverpool's number one if we want to achieve what we want to achieve. Yeah, and that might be harsh.
Well, I just don't think we've seen enough of Karius to know.
Maybe
to see him have a season and see what he's like by the end of it.
Yeah, that's fair, John.
Exactly. I think we know with Mignolet. Mm. You know what you get. And I think you're right. I think he has improved. But if Karius improves as much as Mignolet's improved, he'll be a much better goalkeeper than him. You know, we've seen enough. You're right that it's a very tough position to impress in. I think, you know, if you're not conceding, if you're not being forced into loads of saves, it's hard to showcase what you're doing. You've got to really look for it, unfortunately. And I think you're right, and I think we saw this in the week that just how Karius dithers far less in possession, and I think that makes a mass difference. I think it transmits a little bit more calm and composure to the team in general. I don't think he's like Ederson class, you know, in terms of his distribution's not that good. He's not a Pepe Reina level. I don't think he's that level of character either. So in that regard, I agree with what you're saying. I don't think anyone has genuinely won that position long term. I don't think either of those right now, based on how they play, are going to be Liverpool's goalkeeper, possibly even at the start of next season, but definitely within 2 or 3 years. I think we would just go out and buy someone else.
Ready made.
Yeah, exactly, rather than having to build something.
It was a difficult one for Karius, I think, in midweek as well, because you're playing with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson in the back four that he's not played with in the Champions League games. Those two, you know, Trent featured earlier on in the season, obviously he gets a goal, doesn't he, from a free kick and stuff, but those two in the same back four, we've seen with Lovren how long it's taken him to get to understand Mignolet and vice versa. Karius was playing with a back four and fullbacks who he wanted to distribute to, who he's not played with a lot. So
that's a direct physical side looking to hit you from set pieces as well. And I thought he came out of it really well, dominated his area, dealt with the little dirty tactics where he'd stand on his toes and stuff. So again, I feel he's done enough given the opportunity, and it's one of those situations where if this was if they're genuinely in competition, and they are, because he's playing the Champions League games for us, this isn't like when you drop Danny Ings in for a few games when Roberto Firmino's injured, and then Firmino is fit, Firmino goes back in, Salah always is going to come back in, Mane's always going to come back in, although maybe we'll have a little chat about that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If Karius is good enough to play the Champions League games, unless he has just decided that here's the thing, maybe he does just like Mignolet, because he likes Lovren as well. And I don't think, you know, a lot of us don't like either of those players, and he likes Henderson, and a lot of people don't like them. So, you know, I guess the manager, it wouldn't shock me to see either.
Maybe he's just a sadist, because he knows how Mignolet cracks Lovren up.
Intense mental and physical torture to just get the most. Yeah. It's not working.
No, it's not working.
Let's talk Mane before we move on to people's preferred 11s. Ross, briefly from you.
I don't know why I'm on here.
Look, Sadio Mane has been in poor form. I think. I don't think he's had a good season particularly. His goal and assist return is decent for the goal he's played. I thought he was poor again in the week. He gets pulled, so he's likely to start this game. But it was mentioned to me post-match, look, Oxlade-Chamberlain's starting to really perform, you know, when he's given these opportunities. I don't think we're too far from, or too many games, or more poor performances from Manny, from you might start to see Oxlade-Chamberlain getting the nod ahead of him in games, but probably not this weekend, no, just on the rotation.
Personally, I keep playing him. I'm just, he needs that goal, or he needs something to get his confidence back, because he just looked dead in his feet.
And he needs a goal and an assist.
Yeah, he's just completely off the boil, but he looked knackered yesterday as well. And he looked frustrated, but like you said, he needs that goal and that confidence to get back in his rim. I don't think leaving him out will do him any favours. But when Chamberlain came on yesterday, he was probably the brightest spark in that second half. So there's cases for both of them.
Yeah.
But it's a mad one with Marnie, because he was probably our best player last season. Everyone loved him. And he's gone down that pecking order, so you don't know if that's frustrating him as well.
People forget that until he got sent off at City, and I know that was quite early in the season, he looked unplayable.
Yeah.
He absolutely looked fantastic. So he was playing out on a different position than last season, and he still looked brilliant. But that sending off and then the injuries really do seem to have taken their toll on him, because he just hasn't. It's not quite there for him. And there's an argument that you keep him in the side and keep playing him until he gets back his form back.
Yeah.
Or you take him out of the firing line and give him a rest. You know, I wouldn't want to make that decision. But, you know.
The thing is, for me, he just feels like he's trying to find his form rather than finding his form. You know, we see this sometimes, again, in all walks of, you know, football, don't we, Chris, where when it's not working for you sometimes, you just have to go back to doing the simple things for a bit. And again, that's one where he could just do. I mean, we saw this against West Ham when he got a couple of assists in that game, didn't he? And he could do with having another one of those performances where he does all the basics of his job, and you know, you might just find that the ball drops to him and he sticks one in the back of the net too.
He should have had that game. He should have had that game against Maribor. You know, I didn't think he played particularly well in that game, but he comes away with it from two goals. That's almost the spark that you need sometimes, and it's not seemed to kick his engine into gear. So, personally, you know, we'll come on to preferred 11s and stuff. I would take him out for this game, and I would go, lad, you're in for Arsenal. That's how important you are, and that's the way that I'd try and G him up, and I'd probably bring Ox in for this game, because I'd sit him against Arsenal.
Yeah. Right, preferred 11s. Boards at the ready, please, gents. I mean, I'll give you 5 minutes to get prepared. Way, we've gone for the red couch.
Clean sweep, wow.
Across the board.
There's no discussion in this prior to the videos either, as well.
No, absolutely. So, all right, everyone's gone for the same back four. The only difference, I went for Milner at left back in this. I think Milner's almost nailed on to play this game. I think he'll more than likely play in midfield. But for me, I think if we have a similar set of circumstances that we saw in midweek, where we need a bit more quality in the final third, I'd put Milner in for it, because I just think he's a better crosser of the ball, his decision making's a little bit better. But I think on the balance of it, he doesn't like to rotate his left back. So Robertson probably will play in this. You've all gone for 4-3-3 as well.
Lallana. Get him back in. Get them biceps working.
Oh yeah. If he's fit, Chris, I would absolutely. I agree with what you've gone with there. I think Henderson is more likely to come in, but I would like to see us, and I've been saying this for a while, to unleash two actual attacking mids in front of a holding.
That's what Liverpool need to do, and whether it be Phil Coutinho in there with Ox, or whether it be Lallana and Ox, just get them in there and let's see. Instead of let's talk about four players, let's talk about five. And let's see if people can top five great players going forward. That's the Liverpool side that I want to see. And, you know, obviously the defence would probably change based on people's fitness and stuff. But two attacking midfielders, one holding midfielder, and three lads up front who like to score for fun.
Yep.
Sound, I'll take a little bit of that. Thank you very much. And I'll pay good money to see that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The three of us have gone for Henderson, Dad, you know.
I just think it's... you know, just like Gomez will be right back, it's Hendo's turn. He didn't play the other night, he'll play.
But given that this is preferred, would you prefer to see Henderson over Emre Can?
Yeah, I would at the moment. I think Emre Can against West Brom was awful. I thought he was slow, boring. You know, I just don't think his performance had any life in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Hendo's as good, so get him in.
Ross?
I'm on the fence with Emery Chan. He's too inconsistent for me. Like, he's had some proper worldies in that six. So yeah. Last week, the week before, I thought he was amazing.
Yeah.
And then last night, I wouldn't say he was awful, but he was.
I think we saw for Emery Chan the way he made some nice ball recoveries and got back and used his strength and did things. He did the things that Henderson's kind of lost a bit from his game in recent weeks. You know, there was that video doing the rounds of like what I feel Henderson looks like, and he was like helping the train stop at the station and stuff like that. The games have kind of passed Henderson by a little bit, but there's definitely, for me, when you need to be on the front foot, if you're looking to break a team down, I think Emre Can comes alive in the games where it's a physical battle. And you may be looking to claw the team down to your level or whatever. Whereas I think when you're looking to open things up, I just think, look, Henderson's not a Steven Gerrard passer of the ball. He's not a Xabi Alonso, but I think he's a much better passer of the ball than Emre Can. Provided he plays the game with bravery, and we talked about what we lacked in the game midweek, was someone to if Firmino's going to play, and he's not in my team, by the way, you know, whoever's playing up front, smack it into feet. And trust them to do the work. You don't need to be marauding forward if we're playing one holding mid. I've got no problem with Jordan Henderson starting, as I'm sure people will have. But I think again, neither Emre Can nor Henderson is the perfect solution to our team at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Paul. I think I was talking about it to somebody outside the game. Apologies, I can't remember your name. They're much of a muchness at the moment, and I think for me, I think Chan's had more good games than Henderson this season, and that's why I've gone with Emre. I think when you look at Chan's performance against West Brom, I think, John, you're right, I think he wasn't great, but I think on the balance of it, Hendo's not had those good games, whereas I think Emre has.
I mean, Henderson will play because he's the captain, he didn't play the last game. You know, it is, a toss of a coin who's actually better than each other.
I'd love to see Genie back there in that six, you know. I think he might be the long-term answer for us at the moment.
We were discussing the other day Lallana going in there, which I know is not his natural position, but he's put loads of fucking beef on.
I think he can turn quickly and get a player away for counter-attacks. I think if we're playing a 4-4-2, I think we're likely to see him as alongside the Henderson or a Chan in that. I don't think we'd see him if we played 4-3-3 and he's the one. I wouldn't like to see. Imagine if we had Adam Lallana, who's in front. That would be a potential.
Lallana for me anyway does his best work in the half space. That's where he's a step above everybody else. I'd be interested to see how he does.
We'll be a better team once he's back in.
I genuinely hope that is. I would prefer to see Adam Lallana get a game, although I like this 4-4-2 away from home, and I don't know where he plays unless, you know, we've not seen him play in the middle yet of a two. This might be the game and we go, oh wow, that makes sense. That's why he's been bulking up. That's what he's been getting primed for. I don't know, but
it wouldn't surprise me as well if Milner played in midfield in this game.
Yeah, you know? I think Klopp will do is I think Robertson will play left back. I think it'll be Henderson and Milner will rotate out for Genie and Chan, kind of like we saw. And I actually think I've got the wingers right. I don't think it'll be Ings. I think it'll be Firmino or Solanke ahead of that. But again.
Who knows?
Take your pick. I think it's almost guaranteed, though, that we won't see. There's zero chance that we'll see Coutinho, Firmino, Salah and Mane start this game. I think we'll definitely see one or two of them be rotated
With an eye on Arsenal,
absolutely. Let us know your preferred 11s in the comments below. Again, not the 11s that you think Jürgen's going to do, but the 11 that you would like to see based on the players that are fit and available. Dad, what do you think the score's going to be?
4-1.
Go ahead.
Normally I guess exactly the same as your dad every week. No, John, I'm not guessing that.
From discussion before, 1-0 to us, obviously.
2-1 Liverpool.
I'll take a 3-1 to Liverpool. Buoyed more by the idea that hopefully Bournemouth will try and play a bit of footy against us, and I still think they might cause us problems, but it would be nice. Inevitably 2-0 up, they get one back, then we bring on whoever we've rested for the last 10, and then they score and then it's 3-1, and we all forget that it was a bit nervy for a bit. That I've kind of enjoyed those away games in recent weeks. I get back to a little bit of that, Red. Score predictions in the comments below. As I said earlier, do go and sign up to the RedmenTV.com for exclusive weeks. Some amazing stuff going on there already. Some more amazing stuff to come. And there's an amazing chance to win fantastic prizes just for signing up. It's free, completely free for the first month, and just £5 a month. After that, if you're into all that stuff. If not, by all means, carry on. But as I say, know this, that if all them people get off, this goes away and it'll be on you. we're going to be back with Bournemouth. We'll be here in the studio, won't we, Chris?
Yes, we will.
Should be exciting times, hopefully. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing. See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.